Welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we are so excited that you have joined us this evening. Family and friends, the Japanese introduced a tree to the world that is called a bonsai tree. It is measured in inches instead of feet. As other trees are measured, it's not allowed to reach anywhere near its full growth potential, but instead grows in a stunted miniature form. And the reason for it growing in a stunted form is because when it first stuck its head out of the ground as a sapling, the owner pulled it out of the soil and tied off its taproot along with some of its feeder roots and then replanted it. And by doing this, the grower deliberately stunted its growth by limiting the root's ability to spread out and to grow deep, thereby not permitting it to take in enough of the soil's nutrients for natural growth. Well, what was done to the bonsai tree by its owner is what Satan has purposed to do to the believer if he can. Tonight, family and friends, allow me to ask you, how deep are the roots of your faith? And the reason I ask is because so many, many times when things get tough, many of God's people are bailing out. And if God's people are bailing out, we can understand then why we're not the witness we need to be to a lost and dying world tonight. You see, there's nothing inside them that holds them to their faith, and they fold, simply because they were not well rooted and grounded in the faith. And right here is a good time, family and friends, for us to understand that God wills for us to be rooted and grounded in the faith so that we can survive and thrive. Now, the Bible has a lot to say, and the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. In Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, he prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17. Why is it God's will that we be rooted and grounded? Why should Christians pray for one another as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus? Because Christians in this world tonight need to be anchored. Christians need roots deep enough that we can still hang on to our faith, even if everything else were stripped away from us. Have you ever wondered what it means to be rooted and built up in Christ? Do you know what it means to be established in the faith? Well, tonight I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. And if you have a Bible there at home, I pray that you'll follow along. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight that we can once again be together here on the Living Faith Network. As we dig deeper into your word tonight, Lord, we pray your grace and your mercy to go before us. We pray, Father, for your spirit to speak to our hearts, and we will promise to do our job, Lord, by having an ear to hear that which you're going to say to us tonight. Father, we pray for those who do not yet know Christ, as always. For we know, Father, that the hour of this world is growing darker and more people need yet to come to Christ. They need to find salvation in him that they might have to go and experience the fires of hell for all eternity. Tonight, Father, we pray that through your word there will be those who will choose to repent of their sin and to place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for that Christian brother or sister who has not yet been rooted and grounded in the faith, established in it. We pray tonight as we think about your word and what you're going to say to us, that your will be done in each and every heart that hears. We pray these things in that name that stands above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you know what you believe and why you believe in Christ? If someone were to ask you, could you give a reason for your faith in Jesus Christ? We must know what it means to be rooted and grounded in Him. We must know what it means to be established in the faith. We must know what it means to become and be deeply rooted in Him. And so for the next several weeks here on Digging Deeper, we're going to examine the basic beliefs of Christianity. And I pray that you'll join us each and every week on our journey by tuning in as we discover together what makes up our faith. My hope is that if you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will know why you need to and should. My hope and prayer for all who've come to know and already know Christ as their Lord and Savior is that we will know why we believe and what we believe and be better equipped at sharing the good news of the gospel with those who need salvation in Jesus Christ. Family and friends, have you ever wondered why the Bible? Why this book of all books? Why the Bible? It's because what you and I believe about God comes from the Bible. What we believe about Jesus Christ comes from the Bible. What we believe about ourselves comes from the Bible. If we don't have the Bible, we don't have a full knowledge of the revelation of God. We don't know anything about God unless we have the Bible. If we don't trust the Bible, we don't have an alternate source in this world in which to go to. So we must start with the Bible because it is the anchor for everything else we believe. Do you realize that everything rises or falls on the Bible because the Bible is God's holy word to man? And so tonight there are four things we must understand about the Bible. First is the Bible's authority. What do we mean when we say the Bible's authority? Well, let's think about what authority means. The power to determine or otherwise settle issues or disputes. Authority means the right to control, command, or determine. So when we say the Bible is our authority, we mean the Bible has the power to determine or otherwise settle issues or disputes. The Bible has the right to control, to command, or to determine. Well, you might be wondering, how can we give a book that kind of authority? Well, friend, it's because the Bible is not just any book. The Bible is the Word of God. And our text tells us here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, here's what that means. It means if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it means all of the Bible is God's words. All that is quoted is God speaking, thus saith the Lord, are God's words. Even the words not directly quoted from God in the Bible are God's words too. All Scripture means all. The Old Testament is God's words. The New Testament is God's words. If God claims the words of the Bible are His, well, friend, there's no higher authority. How can we argue with the authority of the Bible? Since the Bible is God's words, it means that they are not just true, it means that they are truth in itself. Jesus prayed a very important prayer for all of those who would believe. This is what he prayed in John 17 and 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Have you ever wondered about this? I've heard people say, well, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, yes, there is. It's the Bible, friend. The Bible is the absolute truth. To believe that the Bible is false is to disbelieve God himself. To disbelieve God is to place yourself as a higher authority than your Creator. As we seek to understand, trust, and obey the Bible, you see, we are seeking to do the same of God. We obey the Bible because the Bible is God's Word. He is our Creator. He is the potter, and we are the clay. Who are we to claim that we know more than God? Can the clay say to the potter, you can't do this? No. The potter forms the clay. The potter has his words, his mind, and he speaks as he creates, and so did God. God created. He gave us a word. He gave us the absolute truth in the Word of God. Well, that means that second thing we need to understand then is the Bible's clarity. Have you ever thought what we mean by the clarity of the Bible? Well, here's what we mean. The Bible is written in such a way that all things that are necessary to become a Christian are in it. All things that are necessary to live as a Christian are in it. All things that are necessary for you and I to grow as a Christian are perfectly clear. You see, because we have the Bible, how we become a Christian is clear. Because we have the Bible, how to live as a Christian is clear. Because we have the Bible, how to grow as a Christian is clear. And I want you to note the progression. First, you have to become a Christian. Then you have to live as a Christian in order that you might grow as a Christian. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 and 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Simple people then, like us, can understand what God wants us to. God didn't just create us, throw us out here into this old world on planet Earth and say, "Well, good luck finding me." No, he gave us a word. God definitely shows us who he is. He definitely shows us who we are. And he definitely shows us how we can come to know him. Family and friends, the Bible is clear in its message. But to be fair, let's ask, well, what about the stuff people disagree with about the Bible? What about the stuff I can't understand? Those are two very good questions. But let me be honest tonight. The problem is not the Bible in these instances. The problem is us. Because Christ is the Word, the Bible is clear in its message. And so the problem is not the Bible, the problem is us. Let's be honest. Sometimes our minds aren't clear. Sometimes our thinking is way off. Sometimes our wills are stubborn. And sometimes we do not want to submit to God's Word, so we throw up our hands, claim we don't understand it, or we want to argue about God's Word because God's Word is confronting us in our sin. And the things we don't understand, we need to pray for God to enlighten our minds so that we can understand that. That's why we're to read the Word of God every day, morning and night. The Bible says, and then we shall have good success. The more we read the Bible, the more we understand it, because the Bible is perfectly clear on how to become a Christian, how to live as a Christian, and how to grow as a Christian. That's a reason, friend, for the Bible's necessity. Paul wrote, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way a person can come to faith is by hearing the Word of God. And Paul is speaking about the Bible's necessity. You see, the necessity of the Bible means that it is necessary to read the Bible or have someone tell us what's in the Bible. If we're going to know God personally, have our sins forgiven, and know with certainty what God wants us to do, we need the Bible. We need it explained to us. Friend, if we don't read or hear the Bible, do you realize we're in bad trouble? Some of you are in bad trouble tonight because you haven't spent time in God's Word. You haven't heard God's Word. But the very fact that you're listening to me tonight means that there is a Savior in heaven. There is a God who loves you. It's not by accident that you're hearing me tonight. God has placed you here. Oh, don't dismiss the will of God. Don't dismiss His sovereignty. Don't dismiss how much He loves you. God wants you to learn about His Word and the necessity of it. How can we know God without the Bible? It is the Bible that tells us that God exists and that God loves us. How can we know we're sinners or that there's even sin at all without the Bible? How can we know God's will for our lives if we don't read what He's told us already? There are some things about God that we can know without the Bible, sure enough. For example, the Bible says, Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And Romans 1:19-20 tells us, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In other words, God is simply saying in these two passages of Scripture that we can look around, we can look around our world, we can see God's fingerprints everywhere. This is called general revelation. We look at the seas, we look at the mountains, we look at the trees, we look at the things that God has made, we look at the rainbow in the sky. All of these things are evidences of general revelation. But the Bible tells us things about God we can't understand just from nature. We see that the Creator God is also the loving Redeemer God in the Word of God. This is called specific revelation. That means that the Bible is necessary for you and I to know about our loving God, our loving Creator, who loves us and gave Himself for us. He's a Redeemer. So we have general revelation, nature, the things we see that we can know about God. Then we have specific revelation, the things that are in the Word of God that tell us all about God. Friend, have you ever wondered, another thing, the fourth thing that we need to understand tonight, and that's the Bible's sufficiency. Again, our text teaches here in 2 Timothy, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God-breathed. And it is, and it's profitable for doctrine. In other words, for truth, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, why all these things? Because the Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, then, is sufficient. What do we mean by the Bible's sufficiency? We mean the Bible contains all the words of God that a person needs to become a Christian, live as a Christian, and grow as a Christian. We mean the Bible is enough. The Bible is sufficient in telling us how to be saved. There's no other source that we need to go to find all the answers that we need. The Bible is enough. We don't have to add to the Bible. We don't have to take away from the Bible because the Bible is sufficient. So what does the Bible's authority, clarity, necessity, and sufficiency mean for us? What does it mean for you? It means you don't have to wonder. That's what it means. We don't have to wonder who God is. We don't have to wonder what God thinks. We don't have to wonder whether He loves us or not. We don't have to wonder if we can be made right with God. Wherever you are tonight, I bet you there's somebody who's listening tonight. And you're about at the end. You've committed so much sin. You've done some things that you're thoroughly ashamed of. You know you're guilty. You're carrying around a load of guilt. And you're wondering tonight if there is any way whatsoever you could ever be made right with God. Well, friend, I want to tell you and share with you the good news, the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. Because of the Bible's authority, because of the Bible's clarity, because of the Bible's necessity and the Bible's sufficiency, you can stop wondering. You can stop listening to the devil tell you that you'll never be made right with God, that God would have no use for you, because God does. God loves you. God cares for you. That's why God says in His Word, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Did you get that? I hope it'll sink in. For God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. That means you won't waste away in the fires of hell for all eternity. You will not perish. There is a God in heaven who loved you enough to pay the price for your redemption. You think that God didn't know that you would fall short of His glory? Do you think your sin has taken God by surprise? It's not taking God by surprise. That's the very reason you're listening to my voice tonight, because God loves you. God wants to redeem you. There is hope for you in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're sinners, sure enough. The Bible says we can be given, forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says we can have eternal life with God in heaven forever and ever. Well, friend, that brings me to a question tonight. Do you trust the Jesus we find in the Bible? Perhaps you're listening tonight, you say, "Well, I don't have a Bible." In just a few moments, there's going to be an address, there's going to be a number on the screen. You write to that address or you call that number. We'll put a Bible in your hands. God wants you to know Him, and we want you to know Him. We want you to come to trust the Jesus you find in the Bible. The Bible tells you about a loving Redeemer whose name is Jesus. If you're already saved, can I ask you tonight, is God's Word sufficient for you? I hope so, because the roots of faith must have as their foundation soil belief in the Holy Bible, the Word of God. For faith to be genuine, it must have as its foundation its belief in the Word of God. Friend, the roots of our faith can only grow if we rest them in the sufficiency of His all-encompassing Word. As I bring this message to a close tonight, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you consider this? Friend, why would you want to spend an eternity in hell when you can spend an eternity in heaven with a God who loves you? Tonight, God is offering you a free pardon. He doesn't care whether you're an adulterer, a drug addict, an alcoholic, you've been in prison, in and out all your life. God doesn't care about any of that, nor should you. The only thing you need to fixate your eyes and your heart upon is that there is a loving Redeemer who loves you, who will forgive you, who will accept you, and He's offering you a free pardon tonight. Will you come and will you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? For God so loved the world that He gave. Will you accept it? Wherever you are tonight, will you repent and ask Jesus to save you from your sins? Now, I'm going to pray tonight, and if you want to receive God's gift of forgiveness and salvation, you pray this prayer sincerely asking Him for this. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to be assured, if you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, I want you to be assured tonight that you are saved. You will be welcome into heaven, and I want you to please write to us or call us at the address or number on the screen. You need to let us know of your decision so we can get materials into your hands. Many others have already done that. I pray that you'll do that so that we can put materials into your hands to help you in your new walk of faith with Jesus Christ. And now, may the God of all mercy and grace make His face to shine upon you both now and forevermore. Amen and amen.